everything. And that's the theme of our message tonight. I just thought that was such a good song to go along with it. So if you look at your lesson, we got to move here. I'm looking at the time. In our last three lessons, we reviewed the magnificent doctrine of redemption. Amen. Redeemed. We're redeemed. Verse number 7, of course, we were in there for several weeks. In whom we have redemption. How? Through His blood. What do we have? The forgiveness of sins. Amen, amen. According, and then we move into tonight's lesson, according to the riches of His grace. So we must move on and look at, number one, His gracious riches. His gracious riches. The term, next blank line there, the term rich or riches is often used by the Apostle Paul to aptly describe to describe God and what believers have in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we may not have much on this side of the grave, but I am telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, we are rich in Jesus Christ. We are rich. We are heirs to the kingdom. Amen. We are the children of God. We're adopted sons. We have it all. Amen. Right there in Christ. And so we don't have time to look up each one of these verses, but we're in Ephesians. Let's look up the ones that are in Ephesians. And these are great verses, by the way. I think about that verse in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, where it says that He, being rich, became poor for our sakes, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich, the Bible says. So look at Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Okay, we of course know we have verse number 7 talks about His riches, but then there's verse number 18. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." We're going to look at this later, but this verse says that it's God's will that our eyes would be open to how rich we really are in Christ. How much we truly have. Hey, listen, I'm not saying not to be humble, but listen, you can lift up your head. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 4, we know this verse, tremendous verse. It says, "But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. For His great love, wherewith we inherit that mercy." Chapter 2, verse 7, "that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ there. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 8. Look quickly there. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles," what? "The unsearchable riches of Christ." To God be the glory. Amen. Verse number 16 of chapter 3, "that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." We all know Philippians 4:19, "but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So listen, ladies and gentlemen, our God gives to us His gracious riches. Remember, going back to verse 3, what are we learning about here? All the blessings and benefits that we have in Christ. We have His gracious riches. Amen. Secondly, not only do we have His gracious riches, but we have His abounding wisdom. I want you to hold your place here in Ephesians, but also go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read that here. I'm just going to go ahead and get started. Verses 7 through 16, you catch up when you get there. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." I love that verse talking about those evil angels, if they'd have known, if they would have known what they were doing, they never would have done it. Amen. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. A great verse, by the way, for the judge not crowd. Oh, don't judge. You can't judge. The Bible says judge not. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, the Bible says. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Secondly, not only do we have his gracious riches, but we have his abounding wisdom. According to verse 7, redemption is according to the riches of his grace. Talking about Ephesians 1:7. According to Ephesians 1:7, redemption is according to the riches of his grace. That's what it says. It says that in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Then, the next word in verse 8 is what, church? Wherein. Okay, again, that's one of those connector words. Wherefore. Therefore, amen. It says, wherein. What's the wherein referring to? Well, it says there, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In what? Because of the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace not only gives us his gracious riches, but it gives us abounding wisdom. However, the word wherein tells us that such grace also abounds to us in all wisdom, blank line there, and prudence. All wisdom and prudence. Love the word for wisdom. Beautiful lady's name. Anybody know what it is? Sophia. Beautiful name. Means wisdom. I'm going to have to remind my Aunt Sophie of that. That her name means wisdom. She probably already knows it. Amen. All wisdom and prudence. And here's this. Here's the thought of this. That what God is trying to communicate to us here. Is that God allows us to understand him. And is doing. He not only allows it, he wants us to. You know how we know? Two things. It's not in your outline. First of all, he gave us his word. That we would know. That we would compare spiritual with spiritual. But how do we do that? The Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God as a gift from God to be able to understand. I'm not saying we can ever totally understand God. He's way outside of that realm. Amen. But he's saying this, what he has revealed, he desires that we would understand, that we would abound in all wisdom and prudence. So his gracious riches he gives to us. He gives us his abounding wisdom. Here's something else he gives to us. This is interesting. He gives us his mysterious will. His mysterious will. Verse 9. Look at it there. It says, having made known unto us the what? The mystery of his will. Okay? Ephesians 1 has much to say about God's will. If you look at it with you, you can fill in these blank lines just looking at the verses. Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? The will of God. Okay? Verse 5, we read that there several weeks back. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, so we have the will of God, the good pleasure of his will. Verse 9, we looked at there, the mystery of his will. And then verse number 11 talks about there, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Okay? In the New Testament, blank line coming up here. In the New Testament, a mystery is something that is previously hidden, which is now revealed. Okay? In the New Testament, a mystery is something that is previously hidden, which is now revealed. Many times we think of a mystery of life, something that cannot be known. I remember growing up, and we used to watch, on Saturday nights, we would watch In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. And we would watch Amelia Earhart, and we would watch the Easter Island statues, and it was mysterious. You couldn't figure it. Stonehenge, why Stonehenge is the way it is. And there were mysteries. Nobody knew. That is not what a mystery is in the New Testament. It's something that was previously concealed and now is revealed. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What is God saying here? Hey, that mystery of everyone in the ground, let me tell you what it is. Here's the revealing is I'm going to raise everyone from the dead. Another one we have there, talking about Ephesians 5, where it talks about husbands and wives and the relationship. Nevertheless, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The marriage relationship is a picture, according to that, of Christ's relationship with His church. That was a mystery. Okay. Another one I think about there we have listed is 2 Thessalonians 2:7, talking about the Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. The Holy Spirit is hindering the working that the Antichrist, and once he's taken out of the way at the rapture of the church, then shall that wicked be revealed. It's concealed now. People always talk about, who's the Antichrist? Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist 30 years ago, and then it was Bill Gates, and then it was Gorbachev, because he had that mark on his forehead, and everybody said, he's already got the mark, amen? And everybody's always trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. Listen, it's a mystery and will be revealed. It will be. I love the one in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. By the way, that's a verse to check a Bible on. If you're at the hotel and you see a Bible in there, you check that verse. And if it doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh, you can chuck it. Every new version changes that verse there, 3:16. Mystery, His mysterious will. He reveals it to us. So we have a blank line there. Salvation, which is a mystery to the lost, is revealed by God's grace to the saved. We understand salvation, which is what Ephesians 1 really is all about. It's talking about all that we have in salvation in Christ. There, so we are given His gracious riches, we're given His abounding wisdom, we're given His mysterious will, and then for His good pleasure. It's an interesting phrase there. If you look at verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Go over just a couple pages in Philippians chapter 2. Love this verse. What a verse. Verse 14 is one of the verses that we quote around our house often. Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. We love that verse at our house. Hallelujah. My kids don't like it, but Mom and I like it. Amen. But verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His what? Good pleasure. The fact that God works in us, and may I say, ladies and gentlemen, works on us, is because of His good pleasure. And then that last verse in Revelation 4:11, it really sums it up there, where that we've cast our crowns before Him and we say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. They are and were created. Last line there, His good pleasure, when you think about it, God set His love upon us according to His good pleasure. In the Old Testament, I think it's Deuteronomy 7, where the Holy Ghost reveals to Moses and He says, God did not set His love upon you because you were the greatest of nations and you were the largest. And He said He set His love upon you because He loved you. He loved you because He loved you. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, God, our God, is so rich in grace. All that we read tonight is because of His grace. Amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, wouldst die for me? Amen. Father, thank You, Lord, for this incredible passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that You would help us to truly appreciate You, to truly glorify You, to truly worship You for the incredible God that You are.